Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and it is August 14th, and we're doing our call today on injury and slump healing toolbox and different tools that you can use to work with yourself and your athletes to get over injuries, accelerate the healing process, and work with both the physical and the mental part of injury because they're so interrelated. And I'd like to ask you any questions that you have. The main purpose for these calls, of course, is to answer your questions about anything related to sports psychology with coaching, your coaching or your business or your marketing. So, and if you can be thinking about athletes that you've had or currently have that have injuries and how these techniques could apply, that'd be great. We'd welcome your questions on those. Anything that if you have an injury yourself or have had one, it can relate to you too. It's nice to do your own healing so you can be an example for your clients too. So, welcome, Amy. And we were talking, I wondered if you had any updates on what you're doing or questions or things about injury?
Yeah, I do have an update. I have been asked to coach the tennis team again at Penn Charter, which is a really great Quaker school not far from me. And I coached there years ago with a woman who I'm really fond of. She's a little bit older and has been coaching in the area for many, many years. She's really involved in tennis and just a terrific person. And she asked me if I would be one of the assistant coaches because she knows that I'm not really teaching tennis much anymore. But this opportunity came up where they have a new athletic director and she has another coach, but she wanted my expertise for the women for doubles. And so she spoke to the athletic director and said, I'd really like to see if Amy would like to help us out. And she's not giving me a huge responsibility, so it's not going to encroach on what I'm doing now. And so I met with him yesterday, and he's such a great guy, a really fantastic man. And so I'm really excited to start there and do some training with the kids, and I can also do some of my, the mental toughness training with the team.
Yeah, so it's a camp, is it?
No, it's a school. It's a really
school.
Good Quaker school, kindergarten through high school.
Okay,
and
great.
So I coached there about 5 years ago for 3 years. I did the boys and girls varsity team, and then I stopped coaching, when I started doing all this life coaching and sports psychology coaching. But now I think it'll be nice for me to be sort of back in the tennis arena and be able to use this type of coaching with the team and see if I can get more involved with the school using, this part of my coaching.
Yeah.
So it could be a really good platform.
Yeah, you could bring in the mental part of tennis, since you've been a top tennis player yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great. Congratulations. And so would you have a position there or just do some consulting? Or?
Well, that's what I would like to work towards. And now that they have this new athletic director, who I have a really good rapport with, that's going to be, build the relationship and then see if I can start getting some other things going, like maybe working with some of the other teams doing the mental toughness training.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah.
So I just had this meeting with him yesterday. I hadn't met him yet, and we start next week. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be really fun.
Yeah, good. Okay. That's great. So, congratulations. It's always good to hear you always make so much good progress within doing so much and really applying our sports psychology and performing edge techniques here with all the different with your tennis and that Haverford School, the lacrosse and ballet, all kinds of things, right?
Yeah, and I have a really interesting new client. He's such a terrific kid. He's 15, and he is number one in his class out of 270 kids. He's really smart.
In
and
tennis?
He wants in the class.
Uh-huh.
And he wants to make the tennis team, the singles. He's
uh-huh.
been playing doubles. So I've had a couple of sessions with him, and I've been giving him some things to take on the tennis court with him, you know, when he's in a situation and starts to get tight. And so I gave him the abdominal breathing to do,
uh-huh.
the power words, where we came up with some power words, the positive images, like the visualization of seeing the, you know, the ball where you want it, and
uh-huh.
doing some relaxation things. And he liked that because it was specific. It was something that he could put into play when he's in a situation where he's starting to tighten up a little bit. So I felt like that was a good idea, you know, a good opportunity to present that information to him so he can, you know, use it in the middle of a match. And he liked that. He seemed to gravitate towards that.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. What age is he?
15.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Okay. Yeah, it's nice when we have these tools like the 3 P's, the positive images.
Yeah.
Present focus, something specific they can do, yeah.
What I'm thinking of doing, because I don't know, I just really, the more I work with kids, I realize how much I think that is my niche. I just love working with kids. I love working with teams. And I might try to do some marketing for teenagers and college kids, not just the sport thing, but combining the sport thing with just kids who need coaching.
Uh-huh.
On, you know, stress management, life balance, confidence building, and use the sport part as another angle to do it.
Yeah.
And it might open up the market more for me.
That sounds great, yeah. Because you're already a life coach, and so you can just take those same principles you've learned before and the principles in this course and
mm-hmm.
yeah, combine them together and for kids who are in sports that need that so much because coaches are so high pressure, most of them, I think, and really are so demanding of kids. And so it can be, someone like you can come in and give them the mental tools that so many kids are lacking. And I think a lot of times when you work with the one kid, then you end up working with a team too, and with a coach there, and teaching them how to be better coaches. So that would be great. Yeah, and that's something you could integrate into your website and your marketing
mm-hmm.
and all. So good, because I think it's just there's so many different components to what we do. The confidence, life balance. Of course, I have chapters on stress. I have chapters on all those in the book too. So they're all part of sports psychology.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Okay. Well, let's talk about the topics here. I wanted to give you some tools. Toolbox for psychological recovery and give you some techniques for working with slumps and injuries and with assessing, you know, how to assess your athletes, their motivational level, and some tools for physical recovery here. And then how to make your custom visualization and design your power words to fit your client's exact circumstances. And, yeah, we can talk about with your clients how to switch gears from competition to recovery mode. And then we can talk about encouraging your athletes to imagine healing and performance rather than being injured. We used to often have that mindset of, oh, I'm injured now. But if you can get them into imagining that they're in a healing mode or on the road to recovery, then that's a much better place to be mentally, I think, than just thinking I'm an injured athlete, thinking they're moving forward, you know, and then handling difficult situations. We can talk about that as well. So I just wanted to give you an update from my from our last session where we, in July 24th, we talked about injury as well, and I had my left foot injury, a tendon problem there, and so I want to, I had all, we used this, for those of you who weren't here, we used this this call as a workshop to be able to, you know, have you coach me as an example of an injured athlete and how to recover. Thank you so much for all your suggestions, too, because that was great, and I used all of those, and, you know, used a lot of different things, you know, from our Performing Edge Coach program, because it's good to be, I think all of us probably are athletes here, too, on various levels, and when we can use these techniques ourselves with our in our own sports, you know, it makes such a huge difference, and you can really then be a role model for the rest of your athlete clients, and you can be much better equipped to help them too. So just a few things about what I learned with my injury. I had, just to review, I had a right hamstring strain, and then with my running, I was running really well and then got that strain, and 3 weeks later I injured my left foot with a tendon strain there, and then so now it's been five, and then it was 3 weeks or 2 weeks after that I talked to all of you. And then now 3 weeks later, my tendon is much better. I have no more foot pain while walking, and I'm just starting to jog a little bit. And so, yeah, getting right back to where I was. And one of the some of the keys with that are, you know, one thing I did was I went to a chiropractic care, because I think they give really comprehensive treatment, better than just sometimes they a lot of times they are really good at physical therapy as well as adjusting the bones and all. So that's one recommendation you could give to your clients. And if you're in an area where there's an actual school, you know, chiropractic college, like out here, this Palmer Chiropractic College, which is really good in San Jose, there's one back east. If you have a college like that, then you can get really good treatment. Your athletes can get really good treatment for a low cost. It's really much less than a regular chiropractor, but they're being supervised by a doctor. So the doctors are excellent. So you're getting they're getting really good treatment. So that's what I did, and it really helped me. And then I think, you know, if you could put as much energy, I think what I did is I thought I need to put as much energy into this rehab as I would into my normal training, even though it's not as much fun. A lot of times we enter, you know, rehab or this kind of thing as half-heartedly and don't do all the things we're supposed to do. And I think the key is to really focus on it and say, okay, this is just like a training program. This is just like competition. I need to really focus on this and do everything my doctors, my rehab professionals tell me to do. And then you'll come out of it much better, I think, and much faster healing and more complete healing. So that's what I did. I think that's one key is the attitude to really go, you know, treat this like a race or treat it like a competition. Not that there's a there's no deadline. You don't want to push things along, but I mean in terms of focus on your training and, you know, keeping a logbook just like you would a regular training program. Sometimes it's hard to see progress every day, and you're thinking, oh, this isn't getting better, and getting frustrated. If you can keep a logbook of what you're doing for your rehab, then, you know, that encourages you. Okay, I'm doing everything I need to do, doing my icing, doing my stretches, doing my strengthening exercises. In my case, I needed to wear this sock, and it's called a Strasburg sock at nighttime, which keeps your foot up in the flexed position at nighttime. And, you know, doing things like that make a huge difference. And so if you're giving yourself credit for the things you are doing, then trusting that your body will come along and will heal. And I think another thing I did was make a list of all the things that aggravate the injury. Because, you know, with our Performing Edge techniques here. Part of it is mindfulness, you know, being able to be really listening to your body and being aware of what things aggravate the foot. In my case, it was my left foot. You know, just walking hurt my foot. Just putting any weight, every time I bend my left foot, it hurts. So I, you know, just regular walking was not good because it was just aggravating it. So I went all the way to being on crutches, even though I wasn't, you know, I didn't have a surgery, I didn't have a broken bone. But if, you know, you can do whatever to take the weight off of it, do the, as much as you can, then that makes a huge difference. So I got on crutches. I had a walking cast, like one of these braces that you can wear for your foot. So I was completely off of it for four or five days, and actually a week, and which is really tough to do when you're an athlete, of course, is be on crutches. But I did that, and it really made a huge difference, I think, in allowing the foot to heal. And while I was doing that, I did visualization, too, to say that rather than picturing myself as injured, I pictured myself as I'm in the healing process. I'm sending good healing energy to my foot, and I actually put my foot on, or my hand on my foot each night. I think Alex last time suggested that, which is a really great technique to touch therapy, or just, or even if you're not trained with that sort of thing, you just, you know, if you could just put your hand on the injured area and just send it good energy, you know, before you go to sleep at night. That just I think it, rather than thinking, oh, that darn foot, or oh, that you know, that knee, sending that part of your body, you know, frustration, you want to be able to send that part of your body, you know, love and care and good healthy energy. So I did that, and you know, I think it's important to tell your athletes to not test, you know, athletes want to test their injury every day and say, okay, can I now do more? Can I do more? Or is this okay now? And that, I think you can get discouraged if you do that, you're testing it every day. Just to focus on your rehab, and then maybe once a week you try to do something, you know, walk a little bit or do something slowly, but not to kind of press on that area every day or challenge yourself, because it's you know, it takes a little bit of time for injuries to heal. Yeah, those are some techniques. Some other things you can do are there's a formula called RICE, which means rest. R is for rest, I is for ice, C is for compression, E is for elevation. So those are important to remember. Now they've expanded that to PRICE, put a P on the front, which the P stands for protect. You know, you want to protect that area of the injury so that it doesn't get re-injured or re-aggravated. So think about everything you can do to protect that area. I would really highly recommend the pool, too, swimming pool, for anyone that's getting rehabbed. And there's three things you can do in the pool. One is regular swimming, so that you're getting a workout in without weight-bearing. And the second thing is pool running in the deep end. So that really helps with, and these are all things that I was doing, that helps with, you know, getting the, see if you're a runner or walker, keeps the running motion going, keeps your cardiovascular system going, and just all those muscles in your legs. And then the third thing is pool walking in the shallow end. So if you're just, you know, in my case, I was just learning to bend my foot again, and learning to you know, stretch out that tendon. If you can walk in the shallow end of a pool, then that helps to regain the walking or running motion. But while you've got much less pressure on your foot because the water is buoying you up, so it's kind of like there's the anti-gravity machines you may have heard of, and those are, you know, you can go to different places to rent those. Where you're running and you're actually you're in this vest, so it's you know, taking the weight off you. But those, you know, it takes time and money to go and use those machines. So a pool, it does almost the same thing with much less effort, and it's more accessible. So, yeah, and some other suggestions, things I did were just to take the deadlines off. Don't have any specific timeline for getting better. You just, you know, take it one day at a time. Really have to get into more of a relaxed rehab mode as opposed to a, you know, training mode. And make a list of the things that you need to do each day. That's one thing I did was, you know, things that I need to do and then check them off, you know, frequent icings throughout the day, setting up an icing station, you know, right there in the kitchen. So every time I'm eating, I'm also icing, so it reduces the inflammation. And rock tape, you probably heard of as rock tape or KT tape, isokinetic tape is great for protecting injured areas now. It's just fantastic stuff. So, I want to talk a little bit then about, and does anyone have questions at this point? Yeah, you can just jump in if you do. And I wanted to talk a little bit about healing, you know, just a general principle of healing, you know, both mental and physical wounds. You know, the process of healing with athletes or with any of us is complex. And, you know, there's lots of critical steps along the path to your optimal health. And I think it's, you know, rather than viewing it as an arduous task or something you have to go through, you know, it's better if you can view it as an adventure, as a personal journey, a self-discovery. You know, it's an opportunity to learn who you really are, learn what you're made of. And before the healing process begins, you know, you need to confront several different issues, difficult issues, like emotional wounds or mental wounds. They need to be dealt with along with your physical pain. So I think an injury really is a way of getting your attention, because it's kind of, for an athlete, it changes everything. All of a sudden, you can't do the event, the thing that makes you feel good, the thing that reduces your stress. And in a lot of cases, if it's a serious athlete, then they might lose their ability to be on the team that season. So there's a lot of frustration that can go on. But the body is trying to get your attention, and the body's saying, hey, stop, something is not right. Take a break, reassess your training, and maybe reassess your lifestyle, what you're doing. Let's take a look at this. So it's a real opportunity to make some really good changes in an athlete's life. So I think the cycles, you know, and it always happens this way with training. It's, you know, you take two steps forward and then you take a step back, and you, you know, the cycles of growth are inevitable, but, you know, forward and then setbacks. And especially with endurance sports or any sport, athletes often tend to fight these natural things that happen, the occurrences. But, you know, in becoming injured is a real opportunity for reflection about your life and your training. So I wanted to give you some tips. I know athletes go through stages in their emotional response to adjustment, you know, stages like you've heard of with adjustments to any kind of loss. There's, you know, denial, you know, thinking it's not happening, you're bottoming out, feeling regret, feeling a sense of despair, and there's like resistance. And then eventually you come around to an acceptance, and then you can start the healing process. And I think that's so important to realize that we sort of all go through those stages. And the more quickly you can get to the healing stage and not just fighting the fact that you're injured, the quicker you'll be able to turn it around. And so once you finally accept that you're injured and that you need to do something about this, I think I want to give you some of those tools to be able to give your athletes so that they can do really well. And so as athletes, I think the first thing is learning about your injury, whatever that may be. You know, if it's a lower body injury or upper body, as athletes, we often tend to train ourselves to block out the pain sensations and continue training regardless of what the body is saying. But recovering from an injury is just the opposite. the opposite needs to happen. So what you want to do is learn as much as you can about what's going on in your body and what it needs to recover. You know, take on an attitude of that quiet observation and curiosity without being critical or judgmental. So you want to be gentle with yourself and develop a sense of relaxed attention. And so you want to do your own personal investigation. You know, be mindful, like I mentioned before, with aggravation. Try to be mindful of everything you're doing, every movement throughout the day, and notice what aggravates your injury, what activities you need to avoid. And often that's very subtle. You know, it's not just like avoid running if you're a runner, but, you know, in my case, I first hurt my right hamstring, so every time I bent over, I was aggravating the right hamstring and slowing down the healing process, so I needed to, you know, to bend over to pick up something. We're always dropping something. So instead of bending down the way I usually did, I'd go over on my left leg and use the left hamstring a little bit more to bend over. Or use one of those pickup tools to pick things up. So you want to be able to do that. And do your, make a, make a list of things that aggravate your body, and then try to avoid those and find other ways of doing what you need to do throughout the day so that you're really protecting that injured area. And then the third thing is you want to take an active role in your recovery. So make a list of all the things you need to do to promote the healing, like cross-training, stretching, visualization. You know, just all the physical things as well, icing, maybe pool running. You know, place it in plain view wherever you are, this list. You know, use post-its or messages on your computer or on your iPhone or smartphone so you can see them all the time. And then the fourth thing is you want to draw out the positive lessons from your injury so you can avoid repeating the same mistakes when you return to training. Often athletes, as soon as they're better, then they stop doing their rehab and then will go back to train or to their sport, but then go back maybe too soon and aren't doing the right kinds of supportive exercises and can end up re-injuring it. So you want to continue to gather that wisdom from your experience to support your lifelong learning. What you want to do is support that. Here's some different tools that you can use to facilitate the healing process. You know, when your mind is in the right place, I think your body will follow. So keeping that positive attitude and remaining motivated are really critical components to complete healing. And the body has an incredible ability to heal itself once you provide the right environment. So I've seen really powerful examples of healing in my clients when they give their body a steady diet of positive energy. So you can here are some tools that you can give to your athletes. You know, one is that, you know, kind of a switching gear tool. So injury is a time to move from a fast-paced racing mode, you know, of or competitive mode into a quiet time of rest, relaxation, and rejuvenation. Athletes have a difficult time with that, so if you can have them do active rest, that's good. You know, just some forms of exercise, but not as to the level they were doing before. And you want to have your athletes observe and accept their condition, so not to force recovery, but be patient, allow time for it to happen. And when you learn to relax more fully, you increase your blood flow to those injured areas and you improve your circulation, which can accelerate healing. So you want to remove the pressure and throw away the competition deadlines right now. Trust in your body to heal in its own time frame. And then by doing that, the recovery process will be enhanced, I think. And then one key thing, second tool, is, of course, imagery. Positive healing imagery is so powerful, any kind of visualization that you can do. And there's so many different kinds that are really effective for athletes and for healing. the mind-body connection is so powerful that you can actually, you know, control your capacity to heal. And by imagining the healing process, you can direct your body to heal more efficiently. So you can use specific imagery to visualize the injured area, you know, being nurtured and being strengthened, being healed. So, for instance, with my foot, I imagined this tendon in there, you know, being able to, all the tendons coming together, being healing, being connected, and healing in a way where they're strong and also flexible. So you might imagine rubber bands so that these tendons were able to be strong and yet be able to manage to be able to move easily and do you know, do the movement that they need to do without getting re-injured, but staying really flexible. When I had and I had an athlete with a bunion surgery recently as well, and I had her imagine the bones, the osteotomy, they're called when there's a cut in the bone. Imagine the bridges being built where that where the bone was cut there, so that the bone can heal correctly, and so everything comes back together. So, if you can imagine that, I had her do that. Three things: the bone, imagine bridges being built there, and then secondly, imagine that there is more circulation, warmth in the foot that creates. Imagine putting a foot in a bucket of water or warm sand, and so imagining that that there's warmth there, and that creates more circulation, which helps with the healing process. And then the third thing is with the connective tissue, as I mentioned before, imagining that there's imagining that the tendons and ligaments as rubber bands, so that you are increasing the flexibility there. So all those things can really help, and there's no right or wrong to visualization. People come up with all kinds of things. You can do more general imagery to see yourself as peaceful and healthy and active and in good spirits. And so just experience yourself doing the activities you'd like to be doing, feeling the way you want to feel, and so see yourself moving freely, performing well, having fun. So you want to be able to have that image, like in my case, I'm a runner, so I wanted to be able to imagine myself, you know, running well again. First walking smoothly and then running easily. So I imagine that, and now with that visualization, it's actually happening, and that's doing really well. And the third thing is that, so that's imagery, and of course, we, in our program here, we teach you how to do a custom visualization for your athletes. So if you can do a assessment first and find out what it is that's that needs healing. One visualization that's really powerful, I think, that you can do for your clients is, I call it a journey through the body. So you can imagine, have them imagine that there's, that first they're going to create, do a journey through the body to help the body heal from within. And I have them do a, imagine a toolbox, creating a toolbox, a healing toolbox, and then putting all the tools in that they need to heal well, and then go through the body and with this toolbox and imagine it healing. And maybe if we have time here at the end of this session, I can do that visualization for you here, give you an example of that. But I have them go through each part of the body, imagine that they are, imagine what that part of the body looks like inside, how it feels, what it looks like. And then imagine that they're being able to go in with their healing tool, whatever healing tool they choose for that, maybe a special foot healing tool or hamstring healing tool, and be able to massage that area or work on healing that. So it's actually kind of like doing your own personal physical therapy from within. And it is very soothing and very healing, and it helps to really accelerate the healing process and bring more healing energy to the body. So you can make that kind of custom. You could do a general one for that you use for all your clients, or you could do a specific one for them. So it's a, you know, for exactly that area of the body that they need help with. Saying their name and then using their, you know, if it's a calf muscle, whatever it is, just focus on that one area that they need. So that's imagery. That's another tool. And a third tool, of course, is positive attitude. You want to have your athletes believe in your continued capacity to heal yourself. So hold on to your vision of becoming fully healthy again. So don't let those negative thoughts or other people, you know, get in your way. Because a lot of people, you know, may be saying, oh, this is going to take a long time to heal. That's not really a good, people have said that to me. And in fact, it didn't take that long to heal. Or, you know, sometimes doctors will say, oh, you're never going to be able to run again. Or, yeah, if it hurts running, well, then just stop running. I think sometimes people put a lot of limitations on what we can do. And if you can don't let those negative thoughts or other people get in your way, but focus on what you can do, not what you can't do. And remember that progress always comes in cycles. There may be steps forward followed by a small setback. So, you know, you want to keep track of your progress, even the tiniest movement forward. So allow your dreams to guide you past the obstacles, you know, on the path toward full recovery. And then the next so that's another tool. We've got switching gears, we've got imagery, we've got positive attitude. And then a fourth one is just the tool or the way to redirect your attention. You want to take the energy that you used for training before, and now you want to refocus it on into active healing. So instead of setting race targets or game targets or competition goals, you want to develop goals directed toward your health and healing, and so commit yourself to following your rehabilitation program. So then get involved, and maybe get involved in a project, something creative you've always wanted to do. You could, you know, have your athletes do something a little different with their time. You know, replace the intensity of training with something just as fascinating to hold your attention. Maybe start that book you've always wanted to write, or maybe they've got some other interests. So, you know, if you can redirect some of the attention to something else so that they're not always thinking about, oh, I'm injured or I'm hurting or I can't do what I'm normally able to do, but thinking about something that they can create in their life, something else that can really help to set the scene for recovery. And then another tool is just that social tool, I think, you know, staying connected. You know, encourage your athletes to find other people who are, maybe they're injured too, going through the same thing and talking about their experiences. And you don't want to dwell on the contrast with others saying, oh, I just, you know, I'm not like that person, or we have nothing in common. You want to focus on the similarities in your situations. And, you know, realize many people have gone through similar suffering with their injuries. So you want to build a connectedness. Find a recovery buddy or recovery support person, if you can, and encourage each other in your healing journey. So those are some tools to think about. And then I think it's good to write down the lessons that you learn that you're being taught along the way. So think about all the different things that you are learning, and encourage your athletes to make a a list of the lessons that they are learning along the way. Some examples are, because you know, the greatest learning goes on when we have life's most challenging struggles, and we go to a place of deep soul searching. We, you know, we acquire this tremendous knowledge of what we are made of. And so here are some critical, some examples of critical lessons that you, your athletes can acquire. Things like, you know, there's a learning in everything that occurs in life. And they, you learn that every wound has its wisdom. You want to find out what your particular wound or what your particular injury is telling you. So, you know, just try to be mindful of what lessons are being learned, what your body is telling you. You know, listen to that. Another thing is listen to that voice inside when it quietly begins to call. Let's say if there's a little ache or pain there, you know, listen to the little messages, not just the big ones. And then just lessons like being cautious. You know, you only have one body, so you want to treat it right, treat it well. You know, tell yourself, especially if someone's been through a surgery, they may only have one chance to get it right, to heal, for those bones to heal in the proper way. So have them go through that experience and you know, really treat your body with honor. Another lesson is to be less rigid in your thinking and planning. You know, so have your athletes take a look at how it's structured. Sometimes people set up a structured training plan and they don't vary from that at all. So if you can learn to be flexible and help your athletes to take a look and reassess their thinking, their planning, their training, that can be a really good thing. And I think another lesson could be happy with what you have. Work with what you can do rather than what you can't do. So see the, you know, the cup is half full. And the, I think one really important lesson for athletes is to learn to avoid the problem of coming back too soon. You know, just really taking your time. It's always a tendency to want to jump right back in as soon as they're feeling better. But it's really important to take time and to ease back into training slowly, and then knowing that when you do something new one day, often you don't get the feedback till the next day or 2 days later of what you've done. So it's important to be able to get that feedback and be able to, you know, when you do something new, wait till your body tells you the next day how you're feeling before moving forward and really progress slowly. And then, you know, there's another lesson that you can teach your athletes is that your medical treatment comes from the outside, but your healing comes from within. So you want to use your mind and use your imagery to enhance any of the therapy that you're undergoing. So, for instance, if your chiropractor is doing certain stretching with you or adjusting bones in your body, you know, then you can visualize that, visualize your body being balanced and that all the bones are working well together and all the tendons and ligaments and everything is being, they're being readjusted so that they're working well together. So I like to, another lesson, excuse me, that I'd like to use is that when you're, the Chinese word for crisis, when you're injured, you're really in a crisis a lot of times. And the Chinese word for crisis is, it means two things, danger and opportunity. And so the path you take is your choice. You can say, hey, this is a dangerous situation. Or you can say, hey, this is an opportunity to move forward here, really learn something. And so sometimes you've got to really teach your athletes to pay attention to that, that this is a time that you can, that you really need to focus and use it as an opportunity, not just a time to be scared or get depressed. Because there's learning in everything in life that occurs. So, another couple of things are trust your and respect your body's wisdom. You can, I think oftentimes athletes can arrive at a new equilibrium, a new balance, better level functioning afterward. And I think realizing, help your clients, your athletes, to realize that when they're taking this path toward healing, it will eventually take them to a higher level. If you can be on that journey with them and coach them through it, it'll take them to a higher level in your character and your strength and your wisdom. And just accept that you will heal. You know, have this new healing mindset rather than thinking I'm stuck in this other place. Accept that you are healing every day, and that you you're on the path to healing. And then trust and respect your body's wisdom. So look for reasons to believe in yourself and your ability to heal, and keep your that vision in front of you. And you can, I think, you know, you can help your athletes pull through any hardship. Anything is possible. And with this, we are so fortunate, I think, with sports psychology, with this performing edge, these techniques, that you can help your athletes really get through these injuries. And you can really be a healer yourself with your athletes and teaching them these new techniques. So healing really teaches the discipline of patience. It helps them to slow down. So oftentimes you'll find once the athlete does slow down, switches gears, then the healing happens really quickly. So, I wanted to, in these last few minutes, do you have, just check in, does anyone have questions? Or what I'd like to do is give you an example of a visualization for healing. Imagine that this is one that you could take your clients through, this journey through the body that I use. And so imagine I'm doing a visualization with you right now. Let's say imagine that you're an athlete that needs healing and healing an injury. And so let's go through this visualization right now real quickly as an example of something that you could create for your athletes as well. So we'll start it right now. So imagine you can just sit back in the chair, take a few deep breaths, let your eyes gently close. And then just imagine that we're going to take a healing journey through your body. Visualize, take a breath, deep breath in through your nose, focus on your center, a couple inches behind your belly button, and breathe out through your mouth and relax. Good. And now just imagine that you can take a journey through your body. We're going to create a healing toolbox first so that you can take this healing toolbox, all the tools that you need to help yourself feel better and to heal. So you might want to put into your healing toolbox a tool for healing your massage tool, for massaging out the rough areas. You can see yourself putting that into the toolbox, and you can put in a tool for healing the specific area where you are injured, and that can be that certain tool for that area. You have a mind tool for healing your mind, and you can put in a golden ball of healing energy. Say that's a special healing energy tool that can go throughout your body to help you feel better everywhere in your body. Good. Good, and now let's imagine going through your body. You can enter your body through the top of your head, through a little space in the top of your head there. And imagine you can take your shrink down to a small size and take your healing tool with you. Good. have your healing toolbox with you, and you can go inside your mind. Take a look inside your mind and notice what areas might need special attention or healing. So you can go in there and take your healing tool that you have just for your mind tool, and go in. Notice what areas, what they look like, what they sound like, what they feel like in there. Are there any areas that are red or irritated that you might need to take a look at? Notice any emotions that come up during this period of injury that you can work on. And then take your mind tool, your healing tool for your brain, and go in and work on those areas. Good. Good, and then I notice what changes might be happening. You can start this wonderful change process. Good, and then you can move down into your neck and shoulders. Maybe take out your massage tool and notice what areas inside your body. Imagine yourself inside your body now. You're looking at your neck and shoulders. Notice what they look like, what they feel like, what they sound like, and any areas that need special attention. Go in and your healing tool, massage out the rough areas and see it all smoothing out and coming in balance. Good. And now see yourself going down into, let's say you have an injury in the lower, in your legs somewhere. Imagine going in that area where your injury is. Take a look there. Notice what areas need special attention in your legs. What does it look like inside? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? What areas need that attention the most? Just go in with your special tool just for that area, and go ahead and go to work on that area. Give it what it needs. And just notice how that feels. Good. And now let's go over your whole body with your golden ball of healing energy. So you feel much better, feel stronger inside. And so the golden ball of healing energy can help your body to recover from your head to your foot, and help your mind be more connected with your body. Help all the systems working well together, your muscular system, cardiovascular system, your respiratory system, your neuromuscular. Everything is working so well together now. Just see this golden ball of healing energy just showering your body with positive, accelerated healing energy. Good. Good. Now take in some deep breaths, and all these things you've experienced here, they'll begin to translate into real, positive, tangible changes in your life. You can begin to walk up a set of stairs from 1 to 5, and each stair you can feel more alert, more awake, and refreshed. Just start with stair 1, moving up to stair 2 with more alertness, stair 3, recharging your body, stair 4, recharging your mind. And then stair 5, begin to open your eyes and come back in the room. Good. So that was an example of welcome back. And I always say welcome back when I finish the visualization. So that's an example of a healing visualization. I call it journey through the body that I would do for an athlete. So that's something you could do. And then you'd always want to do a debriefing afterward. ask them what their experience was and be able to bring in you know, their experience and what insights they had, ask them what actions they want to do based on this experience, and make the always record the visualization for them, give them the MP3, and then you can have them listen to it at night, put it on their iPod or any device, and then they'll tell you the next day, you know, give you feedback, and then the next time you can do a whole series of these healing visualizations for them. So I think that can be really helpful for you. You can always do another visualization or another audio with power words for healing too. So so let me just ask any other feedback or other questions you have. I think this time we'll have our next call on August the 28th. And we always have these calls, you know, every second and fourth Thursday of the month. So I know a lot of people are on vacation this time because it's mid-August. And so I look forward to, I'm honored to work with each one of you each time here. If you have questions, feel free to email me, and we'll always include your questions on these calls. So I'll talk to you next time, and hope this is helpful for you with some tools for healing your injuries, and both with your athletes, both mental and physical. And so I'll include some notes from this on our next email here, and up in the replay for this will be up in the private members area shortly. So we will talk to you soon, and talk to you on the August 28th. Thanks so much, everyone, for coming, and we'll talk to you then. Have a great day. Bye now.